This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. It's hard for me to tell, Patrick, because last night the storm came barreling on through Hopkins and I lost power for a while there. I had a minor inconvenience. How about you? Did you lose power last night?
I actually did not, and was a little surprised. The lights did flicker a little bit, but you know, so we got through it.
The thing which is funny XL Energy, they have a little map that you can pull up that tells you how many outages. And a lot of times a storm will come through and you'll be like, oh, this is not that bad. They should get to me here before too long. I can't imagine it's going to be a long time. And then I looked at it and they had some outages. I think the largest I could find was a 4,000 person outage. I said, they're not getting to us till tomorrow. So I hooked up the generator. I had that going and I had, I had the generator going and I got a neighbor had borrowed me. The people across the street were taunting me with power. They had power. We didn't. They had comfort. I was sitting here going, I've gone back to the Stone Age. They loaned us a power strip that basically you can charge phones with, which thank God, because none of us had a charged phone, which was nice to have. So, we lost a few trees down around your place.
Nothing. Well, I mean, it wasn't nothing, but you know, we didn't have any major. There were no big branches down. Didn't lose power. I mean, we saw it was bad outside. It was the street flooded and the rain was driving sideways and all of that stuff. But we didn't lose anything really.
We have got a full show for you today. I'm glad you're here. Glad everyone is here. If you don't have power, don't worry. Hopefully not too much longer before it comes back. And just in time for some more storms tonight. We'll keep you up to date on that a little bit later on. Dan Kessel is going to join us. Senate District 48. He's the Democrat of the day coming up here. And also joining us coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour, we are going to talk to Dusty Hins of Agrarian Seed and Garden Center, talk about their story. Got a lot of things going on. It's that spring planting season. Yesterday, I had a delightful Twitter thread that I read from our first guest, Michael Broadcorp, exceptional journalist, exceptional author. He covers politics from the Republican side. Well, covers from both sides there, but obviously a lot of great insight into the Republican Party and what's going on there. This is wild, this latest thread he has uncovered. He's kind enough today to join us to talk about that, as well as the GOP convention that's coming up here this weekend. Michael, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Man, I appreciate the opportunity to be on, as always. Thank you.
Did you lose power last night?
I did not lose power.
Okay.
I did not, but I was. It was a wild night of power. Wild night of storms and other things, but I did not lose power.
All right, I ran the thread yesterday, but I'm going to let you start off here. Why don't you give a breakdown of exactly what you uncovered in regards to Ava?
Well, yes, and I would encourage you, Matt, to as I'm explaining it, to check my Twitter feed, because I just broke something else that your listeners might want to listen to.
Okay.
So, Ava Michaels, I'll start over here. I had been contacted back in the first week in April about a political convention that occurred on the Republican side. There was someone who came to speak on behalf of Doug Wardlow's campaign for attorney general. She was introduced to the political convention under her name of Marissa Colby. And which is, you know, candidates sometimes need surrogate speakers. There was a debate going on across town, and it's not uncommon because it's difficult to be every place at once. And so campaigns rely on and use surrogate speakers. She was introduced as her name. She gave a speech for Wardlow, and there was some type of disruption that then happened after her speech was over. And according to sources that I spoke with, there was a commotion, and she was quite upset. She was quite upset because in the manner in which she was introduced under her legal name to the body, to the people at the convention. And lo and behold, This woman had wanted to be introduced under under an alias, which she goes by the name of Ava Michaels. And it was unusual to me. I've never heard about this in politics. I've never heard of anyone using an alias or a fake name or anything of sort. And so I did some digging. I attempted to reach out to Ms. Michaels to speak to her, Ms. Colby, and eventually I uncovered a lot of information about this person. Marissa Colby, Ava Michaels are one and the same. And what you have is you have someone who is operating inside party politics, is either being paid in an undisclosable way or is volunteering in some capacity. And they are using, she's used multiple aliases to do that. The reason why is unclear, but there's some speculation as to why. It's because Ava Michaels, who is actually Marissa Colby, had pleaded guilty to solicitation of prostitution, I think around 2015 is when it occurred. She had gone through that process, she pleaded guilty, she had a stay of adjudication, and years later she started getting involved, active in campaigns. She was active with Lacey Johnson's campaign, she was active with some campaigns in kind of the Washington County area, and what was perplexing to people is she was highly involved. She was doing prominent roles such as raising money. She was doing some surrogate speaking, obviously, for Wardlow's campaign. But there was no record of her being compensated in any campaign finance reports in any type of material whatsoever.
And that's
lo and behold.
And by the way, that's one of the things that you uncover. I mean, obviously, the aliases is pretty weird. The prostitution thing is really weird. But the fact that you went through and looked at these campaign finance reports, you couldn't find anyone paying any of the aliases, correct?
Correct. I couldn't find anyone. I couldn't find anyone paying her in any category. Now, volunteerism is the backbone of party politics.
Indeed,
the vast majority of people that work on campaigns are volunteers. The vast majority of people inside party apparatuses are volunteers. But there are a number of people on campaigns that are paid. And when you're doing surrogate speaking on behalf of a campaign, when you're raising money on behalf of a campaign, when you're accepting contributions, when you're staffing candidates, that's the type of stuff where people are paid. And so there was no record in any of these campaigns of her ever being paid and compensated in any type of way. And so she just was a ghost. She absolutely was a ghost. The other concerning thing about this was that one of the people that interacted with her under her name of Ava Michaels met her at an event in Minnesota right before everything was kind of shut down because of the pandemic. So in March of 2020, Ava Michaels is at an event, at a fundraiser, at a campaign event featuring the vice president's wife, Karen Pence at the time. And so here you have someone who is able to circulate at presidential events or events that would be classified as certainly high security, a high level of surveillance, and she's operating under this fake name. And it just was unusual. I've never seen anything like this. And lo and behold, it comes out that she has massive tax liens against her, totaling over $31,000. And she's also currently facing criminal charges in Dakota County for financial mismanagement related to what was perceived to be a vulnerable adult. Now, I've heard that it was her now deceased mother who she's been accused of, in essence, misappropriating funds or doing other things. So what you have going on right now inside the party is you have a prominent volunteer or advisor who is freely and openly using a fake name. And she is accepted inside the party circles under this kind of fake name and under this fake identity. On top of that, the Republican convention is beginning, officially kicks off tomorrow morning in Rochester. And lo and behold, Ava Michaels was elected a delegate to the Republican convention under her fake name of Ava Michaels.
Wow.
And what's interesting about that is that Republicans are kind of using the battle cry of election integrity this cycle. And here you have someone who was elected and is registered as a seated delegate to the state convention under a fake name. Mm-hmm. And it raises a number of questions about, particularly from a party who is championing election integrity and the big lie. And to make sure I clarify your listeners, while I do consider myself a Republican, I believe Donald Trump lost the election. I didn't vote for him. And I don't subscribe to the belief that there was any form of widespread voter fraud that did anything whatsoever to block Donald Trump from being elected the president of the United States. I believe he lost overwhelmingly and clearly. And so it raises a whole number of issues inside these campaigns and how someone like this is able to gravitate and get into a sphere of influence like this, where she's masking her identity, hiding herself in literally plain sight.
I will say this, and just for anyone out there, Michael Broadcorp's journalism is some of the best I've seen, hands down. He does his research. He doesn't just fly off the handle. It's not about rumor. You can trust his writing because he dots I's and crosses T's. And so when you're uncovering this, and like you said, you went and looked under all the aliases, including my favorite, Kiki Minterno. We didn't mention there's another alias she apparently was running with.
Yes.
Kiki, I love Kiki Minterno. That is just, that's delightful. But she, you go through, you dot all the I's, you can't find all this stuff. And you're bringing up just a valid point. How does someone with this many aliases and a bit of a criminal record and some issues with the courts right now get behind the scenes with the second lady, with Vice President Pence's wife? How does it, and especially as you bring up with the Minnesota GOP, they've been putting out all these rules about the convention, about basically trying to keep Eric Mortensen and his crew out of there. And so how in the world does someone even get approved that has an alias as, okay, that person can get through? I mean, there are some real questions here in regards to that you've uncovered that are really like, okay, none of this makes any dang sense.
Yes, it is without a doubt one of the most bizarre stories that I've ever covered. And Matt, you've been good about plugging my website. I'm going to be dumping I mean, in the next 24 hours, I'm going to be having more about this on my website at michaelbroadcorp.com so people can read it more in the long form. But this is incredibly perplexing. And particularly the number of people that I spoke with in the party that were openly referring to her under this kind of fake name, and they knew it was fake. I mean, it just, one of the things that I said to a Republican when I was talking to him about this is I said, the introduction of Donald Trump into Republican politics totally upended what was acceptable, what was permissible, what could be done. And the fact that someone is openly using a fake name and is masquerading themselves as this way, and has this level of influence inside campaigns, is quite astounding. And look, and your listeners know, and I'm a huge believer in second and third chances and fourth chances in life.
Yes.
I don't think we have to be judged. I don't think we get to be judged in life by our worst days. I think the fact that she went through the criminal justice system related to, you know, engaging in prostitution is not unilaterally a disqualifier for her to be involved. But I do think the fact that someone, I do think when you take the combination of the tax liens, the lack of any type of transparency about if she's been compensated in any type of way, and you couple that with the connection to fundraising and other types of things, it raises questions in light of the criminal charges she's facing in Dakota County as to what was actually going on, and should there not be a little more scrutiny given to what this person was doing.
A few other points here that I want you to elaborate on. First of all, clearly when you kept trying to contact her to get comment, she was working behind the scenes pretty viciously to try to derail you from publishing anything about her, correct?
Yeah, I had a number of people who contacted me and said that they were hearing from her, that they were, it was trying to dissuade me from talking, writing about this story or doing anything about it. And it was just puzzling to me. It was very puzzling to me, the number of people who I think just kind of accepted the premise that this was on the up and up. Mm-hmm. And since that's happened, I mean, since I started kind of this tweet storm this week and been noting about this, and particularly when information has come up about the tax liens, the financial being charged with some felonies down in Dakota County, and the fact that she was elected a delegate she's representing herself as someone who she's not on these delegate forms. That raises a number of questions, and those calls have stopped. Her defenders have gone quiet very quickly, but this could substantively be an issue for the party in light of what the games they're trying to make this cycle electorally. Mm-hmm. It just raises a number of questions, particularly for a political party who wants to go out there and wants to audit the Fed. They want to examine the source code of election software, and they want to run on this battle cry of election integrity. It raises a number of questions because this is an interesting point. Ms. Michaels was registered inside the party as Ava Michaels, but she's a registered voter under her legitimate name.
Wow.
So Steve Simon's office, she registered properly with Secretary Simon's office as being a registered voter, but it was only inside the party she was able to pull this off. And I think that raises a real issue for the Republicans when they start talking about election integrity this cycle.
Yeah, another name that came up here is a candidate for House District 33B. It's Mark Bischofsky, who has apparently had some interactions with Ava Michaels. He's come on out and says she has no role with his campaign and she was never paid by him. But one of the people that was a defender of Ava was Mike Murphy. This is the GOP gubernatorial candidate. He was actually, it sounds like he was standing up for Ava Michaels to a point. And that is where we take another little bit of an interesting twist, correct?
Correct. Ava Michaels, Mike Murphy, and people close to him were concerned about this story and what it would do. Ava Michaels was very close to Lacey Johnson's campaign, and Lacey Johnson was just named as Mike Murphy's running mate. So it makes a lot of sense as to why he was kind of defending her. And, you know, this is problematic. Lacey Johnson's campaign for Congress was a polite way of describing it would be an absolute grift. I mean, he spent $13 million on that race. That money was just wasted on that race for Congress against Ilhan Omar. One of his top advisors, one of someone close to his campaign, is currently sitting in jail awaiting trial, Anton Lazaro, for a number of issues involving issues related to crimes that he's been charged with. Now you add Ava Michaels into the dynamic, and Lacey Johnson is clearly not a candidate that should be stepping up to the microphone and asking for his public record to be vetted at this point.
It's going to make for an interesting convention weekend, but it already is fascinating watching what's going on down there. Now, you have done a very good job. And if you're not following Michael Broadcorp on Twitter, you absolutely need to. It's M Broadcorp on Twitter. It's an absolute must follow. You've been following the fact that they've been putting up these rules and kind of the GOP has been putting up rules to basically try to limit the access to the state convention. There's also been questions about electronic voting, which, once again, is a major issue for Republicans. They don't like electronic voting. They were planning on doing it. Today, they've started this whole process. I've been following some of your posts here. It sounds like it's an absolute mess going on with this convention at this point.
Correct. Yes, it is an absolute mess. And what I wanted to bring to your attention was regarding the log cabin Republicans.
I saw that.
Saw that tweet.
I did see that. This is.
And so.
Yeah,
so,
by all means, please go ahead.
It's just ugliness. And so the party has, this is somewhat of a wild convention. The party has done a number of things to try to limit the rules, construct the rules in a way that prevent kind of openness and transparency at the process. There's a hefty debate going on over whether electronic balloting versus paper balloting. But a real ugly thing that just developed here is that the state convention officially begins tomorrow. But a body that's meeting today is the Republican Party of Minnesota's State Central Committee. That State Central Committee is meeting right now, and there is a vote that is going to happen here very soon about whether to decertify the Log Cabin Republicans. And to your listeners, the Log Cabin Republicans is an organization of people, gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual people inside the party apparatus. They are a prominent organization inside the party. When I was deputy chair of the party, I went and openly spoke to the log cabin Republicans at the time and was criticized for doing that. But I believed very strongly in the concept of a big tent and allowing and having every voice inside the party that's possible. There is a movement afoot now to decertify the log cabin Republicans from being a part of the party organization because they are opposed to conversion therapy, which is this horrendous process by which people are attempted, for lack of a better phrase, there's an attempt to convert them from lifestyles that apparently people inside the party are opposed to. I believe the governor of the state, Tim Walz, has outlawed via executive order the use of or the practice of conversion therapy. But to see an organization get decertified or potentially decertified from being a part of the Republican Party because of this is just horrendous.
And it should be noted,
just appalling.
These are Republicans. They're proud Republicans, too. It seems like the charge for this decertification of the affiliate status is Emily Grunhagen, the wife of Representative Glenn Grunhagen, who has been very hostile towards the LGBTQ community in the past with some of the bills that he's put forward and some of the ideas that he's put forward. Is there a real chance the log cabin Republicans in Minnesota would have their affiliate status removed by the Central Committee?
It's possible. And if it happens, it's going to be a very dark day for the party. The vote will happen here soon. It's just appalling. I think that if this happens, I think it is going to be a blemish on an already pretty ugly convention that was going to happen. This is going to likely be a national story. And I think this is the type of mindset that has absolutely no place inside the party. It just blows my mind. It's 2022. It's 2022, and this is what the party is talking about. The party, on a good day, Minnesota is a purple state. On a good day. And Republicans need the ability to bring every person they can into this party and try to row in a direction that they need. And I cannot think of a better way to alienate a whole generation of people than by doing something like this. I think it's just appalling.
And especially with the Roe v. Wade ruling, where a lot of people have said that's actually opening the door to go after gay marriage, go after contraception, go after other issues, bring back sodomy laws. I mean, this, the idea of basically, pouring gasoline on that fire and saying, yeah, this is a war. We are going to, we're not going to, pull back now that we're going to start getting these court victories. This is a scary thing. And I agree. I don't think this is going to resonate. But as well, it should also be mentioned that you had a tweet from earlier in the day. They banned videotaping at the state central committee meeting, which is in the that's as well a very odd thing. I wonder if almost they knew this was coming and they just didn't want a video record of the vote.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I gotta tell you, I was 2010. I was the chair of the rules committee at the state convention in 2010. We live streamed the rules committee way back in 2010 to increase the transparency. We posted the rules 30 days in advance. So to think that the party is not taking advantage of technology to broadcast their messages, this is just appalling. Mm-hmm. It's just appalling. And it's the kind of backwards thinking that has led the party to the lack of statewide relevancy that it has this election cycle. And I will say this very clearly. If the log cabin Republicans are decertified as an affiliate, every campaign for governor on the Republican side should be asked what their position is on it. And I wouldn't be surprised if a proper convention and candidates with a backbone would walk out of the convention if that happened. It is appalling to think that would happen.
And you bring up the point.
This is the state of Hubert Humphrey, who fought at the Democratic National Convention for a civil rights plank in the platform of the Democratic National Committee. He fought for that how many decades ago? Mm-hmm. And look at what the Republicans are doing today. It's just appalling.
And they do not see the forest for the trees, because 2012, we had, you know, they had their chance to put the amendment on the ballot, and it got voted down pretty astoundingly, and in the state of Minnesota. So it's like they still are trying to revisit that whole issue. I agree with this, Michael. First of all, my show is better when you're on it. Can you come back Monday after this convention and give us a breakdown of what happened?
Absolutely, I can. I'd love to be on.
All right, I will talk to you about what time that will work for you. MichaelBroadcorp.com, right?
Yes, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I look forward to being back on.
My pleasure. Have all my best at convention weekend, okay? I hope things go well for you, sir, okay?
Mike, thank you so much.
You got it. Michael Broadcorp, kind enough to join us. And yeah, it's wow. Ava Michaels, the whole thing there, the decertification of the log cabin Republicans, my God, that has been a major part of the Republican Party for decades. And yeah, wow. Glenn Grunhagen's wife apparently leading that charge. And yeah, this is crazy. There is a lot of crazy going on. Mike will be back on Monday. We'll get a breakdown of what happens at this convention at that point. MichaelBroadcorp.com and M Broadcorp on Twitter. Follow him. It's a news source you need to have, because he has a lot of stories that he does cover. We'll take a break. Come on back. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. You know the day destroys the night. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I tell you, coming up, it's a full show today. Dusty Hinds is going to be joining us a little bit later on. We're going to be talking to him about his garden center, Agrarian Garden Center. Just a fantastic setup out there, and a lot of cool products they got out there. We'll talk to him coming up about 5:30. And Dan Kessler is going to be joining us. Senate District 48. He is, running over there. This is a seat we can pick up. The DFL can pick up. And it is, I can tell you right now, one of the things that sabotaged Republicans on the gay marriage vote back in 2012, when they tried to push that, was that they forgot that, you know, even in the external suburbs, when you get up to those tertiary and quaternary suburbs out there, there's a lot of people that know people who are gay or work with people who are gay, and they don't have a problem with it. And so all of a sudden you are asking them to put their face on the on a bill of hate. Well, that doesn't work. Well, now here you are out there basically saying we're against gay people. And I don't know if that you may think that might help you out in the most red districts where there's not a lot of tolerance. That might, but it sure ain't going to help you in the outer suburbs. And it doesn't surprise me that Grunhagen's, you know, this is from the Grunhagen side of things. They're not from a district which is, you know, dependent on, you know, those outlying suburban voters. So they'll sit there and pat themselves on the back while the Republicans get destroyed again in fall. So we'll have to see what happens there. Dan Kessler, once again, joining us. That is coming up, Senate District 48 in the top of the next hour. So, Patrick, we have to run the gamut here, because we had a lot of things. Twins got clobbered in the rest of the game that they had to cancel last night. Absolutely destroyed today.
Yep. Not going a whole lot better in game two.
What's
right
the
now.
Score? Is it 3-0 still?
Yeah, I think it's still 3-0, yes.
God, the injuries have finally caught up to them. That's what it is. I mean, they just don't. I mean, Jorge Polanco is really the only, and Kepler are the only two regulars in the lineup, aren't they? Pretty much?
Yep, pretty much at this point. Buxton is back in the lineup. So there's that at least. So that's a little bit of progress in the right direction.
You can't have all these injuries, that's for sure. The Minnesota United did win, and they did pull off a nice win too against Colorado. They had a red card late in that game, and it was tied 1-1, and they somehow managed to, Ronaldo got a goal, and we got the 2-1 win over Colorado. So that was the game that apparently they were talking about this on the TV. I think I was watching Fox 9 last night when the weather came through. It was Fox 9, because I went downstairs when the TV came back on. It was on Fox 9. So, and he was talking about how they've given the shelter, you know, need to go shelter order to the folks over at the Allianz Field. So it was, kind of scary there, but they did come back. They stopped that game as well, because you might not know about soccer. They stopped that game at minute 16. Everyone left the field. They came back and started at 16 again, correct? I believe that's how they did it.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
They have the Wild are playing now for their lives. They've decided to put Cam Talbot in the goal tonight.
Yep.
They got a score. Nice. Last I checked, the goalie doesn't do too much scoring. So your defense has to play a heck of a lot better than it is. And I don't care who's in the goalie. If they're getting peppered like if Fleury's been getting, they're going to give up a lot of goals. And your forwards and your center, your power players have got to get the goals. And that's just that. And so a lot of people have already expecting this series is over. And show me something. And the Wild will show me something. If they can come back and win this game and then come somehow win, I still think if they go to a game 7, they're not going to be favored to win that game. I think the Blues will be favored to win that game. But if they win both of those games, I don't think Colorado's going to feel necessarily good about going up against the Minnesota Wild.
No, the Wild played against the Avalanche pretty well in the regular season. Not that that really means anything, but it's some confidence to know that you can.
So, yeah. What we should mention, there is a good chance of severe. That's the good news. These games, the Twins game is getting played now. The Wild game, that's down in St. Louis. Is there anything else outside that we need to go get the kids to go pick up before the storms come through again?
The good news, bad news about this is they're not expecting the severe weather to start moving in until after dark tonight. Mm-hmm. I think between 10 and 2 was what I saw on WCCO today. 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. is when they expect that action will move into the metro area possibly. So you do have some time to get everything, get in, get hunkered down.
Yeah, the extension of our weather department here is, hey, look outside. So there it is. By the way, I am now going with an alias. If you can do this, I'm going with an alias. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce myself. I'm Torque Biscuit. There you go. Torque Biscuit at your command. Oh, that's a good old... Oh, Torque Biscuit. Who wants to hang out with Torque? I didn't realize we all could just make up aliases and go by that. I know. Hey, I like Matt McNeil. It's a great name. I'm lucky, but Torque Biscuit. I mean, that gets you attention. It makes you sound. Did your dad invent Biscuit? No, just loved it. Call me Torque and Biscuit.
Kind of sounds like somebody would hang out with Vin Diesel or something like that.
A friend of mine, Dallas, today made the over-under. Said, how long would it take for the Republicans to throw you out of the convention? I said 4, maybe 5 minutes. I don't even think they would allow me in. Even if I had media credentials, I don't think they would allow me in. As a matter of fact, there's a few things you cannot bring in to the GOP convention this weekend. And it's a little bit strange, to say the least, in regards to their list of things, because I'm kind of wondering, who are you expecting to be there at the convention if these are your things here? So prohibited items. So these are the things you cannot bring into the GOP convention. No non-approved literature signs. Okay. No glitter. Damn it. Acid. What? Is this the origin story of Two-Face? I didn't. Acid. Water balloons. Air guns. BB pellet guns. I think we can all agree, water balloons, come on, it's going to be a hot weekend, a little fun. You can do a wet t-shirt contest with Gruenhagen. Let's see, other prohibited items, water guns, cannons, squirt bottles, wrist rockets, slingshots, in case you have a loose squirrel running around, you got to get that squirrel. Rocks, so do not take your rocks in with you, kids. Explosives, bombs, okay. Missiles, okay. Cannons, like Fort Sumter kind of cannons, okay. Flamethrowers. uh,
So this is an actual list of...
This is their list. This is their list of things put out by the racket. Thank you, racket. I appreciate it. Flamethrowers. No. No, Billy. No, Billy. Put down the water pistol and the flamethrower. Not allowed.
No creme brulee for the dessert table.
Torches. Potato guns. Okay. Although that would be... Dry ice bombs. Stick bombs. Fireworks, fire extinguishers, cowbells. I'm not even close to cowbells. Not even close to the end of this list. Air horns, fire alarms, personal PA systems, in case you want to beatbox, I guess. Large signs, specifically size. Non-approved flags and banners. So, Packer fans, keep it at home. Drones. Okay, someone's bringing a drone in with them. Blimps. Do not bring your blimp in with you. Small hot air balloons. What, for mice? I'm going to make a Disney film while I'm here. Radio-controlled independent aircraft or vehicles. Radio jamming devices. Damn it, I'm out then. It gets weirder. Air... tank tanks, other than personal, so like for someone who has a breathing issue. Strobe lights. No disco dancing, kids. No mirrors. No laser pointers. No high-powered flashlights. No beach balls. No tennis rackets or golf balls. No ball bearings, because, you know, it's all ball bearings now. No BBs. No large knives. I'm not making this up. No hordes of insects. Hordes of insects. Let me repeat that. You cannot bring in your hordes of insects, Mephisto. Lucifer, Beelzebub. No. That plague needs to stay outside. Who's walking in with like a bunch of mayonnaise jars attached to them filled with bees? What do you mean I can't wear this in? They allowed me to bring my bee friends in with me last time. Hordes of insects. Not allowed.
Somebody going to be checking at the door to say, hey, house fly, you can't come in here.
Pat you down is they're patting you down as a is. I really, 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 really hope that's a jar of ants in your pants. I really tell me that's a horde of insects you got in there. Cue the strobe light in your personal sound machine. Here we go. It's time for dancing. Also, animals other than service animals, spray paint. Aerosol cans. You know, who doesn't like a little huffing when you got the chance, huh? Excessive amounts of zip ties. You're a political convention. What's an acceptable amount of zip ties? Seriously, what's the acceptable amount of zip ties that I need to bring in there? I can bring in 20, but you know, 21 sounds like you're about to try to take over the place. An excessive amount of zip ties. I'm just trying to take 4 people hostage. Oh, okay. Well, come on in then. Excessive tools, instant sprays, unless personal, like I guess like an asthma sprayer, and anything else that might have individuals and or disrupt the convention proceedings. This is their list. What in the hell are you guys expecting to go on in there? Drones? Flamethrowers, cannons, hordes of insects. Hordes of insects. All right. I just don't. Oh, God. You guys, and Democrats, this isn't rocket science. They're the party that basically said vaccines and masks didn't work. They're the party that basically is taking away a woman's right to choose. They're the party that's basically trying to raise taxes to the middle and lower class to give more tax breaks to the wealthy. They're the party that's trying to get rid of Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare. They are the party that tried to overthrow the government of the United States. And many of them think that that should be done again. That's your entire campaign right there. What I said in 30 seconds, there's your ad paid for by the Minnesota DFL. Don't think this, oh, I've got this really special message about solar power. Great. You're not, you do not have to be clever or outthink them. Just hammer away. They have given you a golf bag of sledgehammers. Pick one and swing. This is not rocket science. It really is not rocket science. But by the way, were sledgehammers on this list? Hey! My acceptable amount of zip ties and my horde of insects, they approve. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Sweet Jesus, I would love to be at this convention. It is going to be a train wreck. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. I'm keeping a track of Michael Broadcorp's Twitter feed just in case he does come out with the news on the vote from the Minnesota GOP State Central Committee on whether or not they'll decertify the affiliate status of the Minnesota Log Cabin Republicans. Like I said, do not fool yourself. A lot of Republicans there's going to be a lot of Republicans, especially ones running in moderate districts, who are going to be like, "Hey, where did you ever get that idea? We were really going to go out there. That's just those people over there. Those are people in the South. We're not like that." Trust me, in this state, not in Alabama or Mississippi, in this state, there are people that are hoping and praying that they can get back into bedrooms, people's private bedrooms, and dictate what kind of sex those people can have, who they can love, who people can marry. Contraception. Trust me, that is the Republican Party, and if you give them the power, they will regulate that. Absolutely. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's do the Minnesota coronavirus update. Once again, Dan Kessler is going to join us. Senate District 48 and Dusty Sins coming up next. Dusty Hins coming in next hour as well. We're going to be talking with him. But let's do the Minnesota coronavirus update. COVID-19 update from the Minnesota Department of Health includes 2,115 newly reported cases, 11 reported deaths. The state's COVID death toll now is 12,547. That's a pretty big jump in deaths, and it's a pretty big jump in daily cases, over 2,000 cases in a single day. And reminder, you're about to have a big convention going on too. Today's update includes case data reported only in the 24-hour period ending at 4 a.m. on Wednesday. Through May 11th, the number of people with COVID-19 hospitalized in Minnesota was 393. That's up from 387 reported on May 10th. Of those hospitalized, 32 people are in intensive care. That's down, actually, from 38. 361 in non-ICU care. That's up from 349. As of May 10th, the state reported that 3,910,596 people have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. That's actually up pretty substantially. That's good. While 3,704,883 people have completed their vaccine series, there are 2,551,187 Minnesotans up to date with their vaccines and boosters. And once again, it's a substantial amount of the state has already gotten COVID. And once again, I mean, I'm going to bet you're going to go to that Republican convention. No one's going to be wearing a mask. And if you were wearing a mask, you're going to have 15 people come up to you going, "Why are you wearing a face diaper? I said a talking point." Be careful. How about I say it like this? Be careful. There are just a lot of people who still today don't think that this is a big deal, that this is, oh, it's over, we don't have anything to worry about, blah, 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 blah. And quite the contrary, there are a lot of people that are still sick, a lot of people dying. 11 people died yesterday. 11. And I understand, if your first, I was thinking about this when we were talking about the prohibited list of the GOP convention. If you're, if you actually have a base of people that could potentially bring flamethrowers and hordes of insects into the convention center, I don't think who your gubernatorial candidate is going to be is your biggest problem. I'm just going to say you've got some other issues you need to work out if that's your posse. Let's just put it bluntly. Well, I'm going to say the same thing here. I mean, if you've gotten to the point where the only way you can defend this and defend your point is to say 95% of all those people who died of COVID didn't really die of COVID, they died of something else. Oh my God. This is just a lie that people are telling to make Donald Trump look bad and Republicans look stupid. Well, yeah, you don't need any help looking stupid. I'm just going to be honest with you. If that is what your plan is, then just give it up, because it just, do you, that is some really twisted morality. That is just some broken logic problem that you're trying to figure out. You've gotten to the point where you just, anytime you just can't be wrong. If you're wrong, then you're being owned by the libs. And that is the worst thing that can happen to you. So you will continue to go down these ludicrous argument paths. I mean, this is kind of the entire point of QAnon. It gives them the cover so that they can still believe in their twisted, illogical world that we're winning across the board. Yay! No. You're just delusional nutbags that do not understand how the world works. You're full of bitterness and anger, and you basically are trying to find some way to validate yourself. But instead of just looking in the mirror and saying, my God, I am denying people who actually died of COVID that they died of COVID. I'm accusing people I don't even know who have died of lying somehow. Yeah, that's pretty bad. And you're a pretty horrible person. Get vaccinated. Wear a mask. I don't want you sick. I don't want you dead. And I don't want you bankrupt for the rest of your life. And I don't want you having long COVID. That's an easy thing. We are taking a break. Hour two coming up next. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. Busy 5 o'clock hour coming up here a little bit later on. Dusty Hens is going to join us. AgrarianSeedAndGarden.com. We'll find out about their story. Really cool. And as a matter of fact, it's a good time of year. I always like talking gardening. You know how many. I got the vegetable garden going. I got pots going, flowers. Love it. So we'll talk with Dusty coming up here in just a little bit. But right now, it's our Democrat of the day. Senate District 48, just out to the south and west of the metro area. Waconia, Chaska, as well. Cologne is in there. Victoria. Dan Kessler is kind enough to join us. He is running for the DFL in Senate District 48 and kind enough today to talk about his campaign. Dan, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks so much, Matt, for having me on.
My pleasure. Let me ask you this, just with the storms we had last night, any major damage? I know there was a lot of coverage of out in the West where those storms came through. Anything bad happened to you guys out there?
Not that I saw. I saw a lot of tree branches down. Didn't see a lot of damage in my neighborhood on my drive to work over in Shakopee this morning.
So, well, good. I hope it was not too severe out there, as it is that time of year. We'll start seeing those storms running on through. We talked to you. You ran for a House seat. Now you've decided to run for the a Senate seat here. Let's start there. What was your deciding factor that you wanted to run for the Senate now?
Well, I was super excited to see where this district has gone. The Senate District 47, previous one, was a fairly solidly Republican district. But this whole area is just so rapidly growing. The district moved a bit to the east. We traded some fairly red areas out on the west end of Carver County for the remainder of Chanhassen. As a one city you didn't mention at the beginning, All of Chanhassen is now part of District 48 and has joined in with Chaska, Waconia, and Victoria, along with some of the smaller towns, Cologne and Mayer. So that district has shifted from a fairly solidly red district to a real toss-up district that went for Joe Biden by 1 point and had a lot of ticket splitters on the down-ballot races. So it's a favorable district, and it's one we really need to flip if we're going to take the Senate in order to make the changes we need to make in 2022.
And you, as you talk about that, there are a few Senate districts I looked at and I said, wow, that becomes a problem for the Republicans. Waconia itself, I mean, and that used to be kind of the base of that district. I know a lot of DFLers that have moved out to Waconia and they just commute to the southwest side of town. It really is changing. There's a lot of people, a lot of DFLers that have been moving in there. You know, Chaska is adorable and cute. Chanhassen, I've got a lot of friends that live over in the Chanhassen area. This is an area which it's going to become harder and harder for the Republicans to hold this seat. I think you got a really good chance this election cycle.
I think so too, Matt. And as we look over the last 10 years, what we see is Eden Prairie, which had been red and then got purple, is now fairly blue. We see the same thing happening with Minnetonka. And this is a progression that's just continuing west. Seat 48B, which is Chaska, and which half of Chaska and all of Chanhassen, that House seat, that one's now a really significant lean blue seat. We're going to take that seat for the House, and the Senate district keeps on moving. So this is a really, really good year for us.
I agree with you. And as we look at this district and the change here, I think one of the first things that has to be addressed if you're championing this district is you got to look at the growth, because you got to have, it's one thing to have a lot of people move out to the area because they're discovering how cute it is, how nice it is. It's a great place to live, but you have to, if you're going to have people moving out there, you got to make sure that the roads and the infrastructure, everything like that, stays up to pace so that things are not overwhelmed.
So absolutely. I moved out to this district almost 20 years ago. And when I moved to Chaska, getting into the cities, I turned down a job opportunity in the cities because it was just, you know, darn near impossible to get in there with any reasonableness. 212 was finished a couple of years later, and now it's a half hour buzz in the city. I will go out to St. Paul once a week for my work. And it's become much, it brings Chaska, Chanhassen, and all of this district much closer to the Twin Cities if people do want to get in there. Looking forward to when they complete light rail and continuing to make sure that our roads are we continue to work on that infrastructure so folks can get around the area.
Yeah, my kids go to Hopkins. So, Chaska, I remember when I went to a school in Edina in the 80s. I know, don't give me any crud. But I went to Edina in the 80s. And I remember we went out and played a game in Chaska, and it felt like we were going, all the way to South Dakota at that time. Now it's like we have constantly, it is so much better connected to the city. We have games down there all the time. And that's just 212 is fantastic. That's a hop, skip, and a jump, and you're right down the highway. And with that, what do you get? You get that great development that comes along the way. And I will give credit to Chanhassen and to Chaska. They're doing it right on that 212 split, that 212 interchange, because it really is. It makes a very inviting community.
Yeah, and the growth out here is just popping.
Oh yeah,
it really is. In fact, the district I ran in before, 47B, all of that has been encompassed in the new 48. So about two-thirds of the voters I spoke with back in 2020 when I was running for that House seat are now in 48. And we had to trim off a whole lot of the western areas and a lot of parts of this in order to just to get the district down to size because it had grown so much.
I don't know if you heard the first hour. We actually were talking, the Republicans right now at their convention are having a discussion about decertifying the log cabin Republicans as a recognized affiliation organization within the Minnesota GOP. They're actually having Glenn Grunhagen's wife apparently is leading this charge with the state central committee. This is something you on your website, you talk about, you're an ally for LGBTQ rights as you've been fighting for them. This it's become very plain and clear. There's one side, it's the Republican side, which is against these people, and the DFL is for them and for equal rights.
Absolutely. And it's an incredibly frustrating situation as a DFLer. You know, what we're trying to do is reach out to everyone, invite people to join our party, invite people to be part of this party. and move our state forward. The idea that you would exclude people because they disagree with you rather than bring them in and have good, vigorous debate, I don't understand it. I really don't. It doesn't make the slightest bit of sense to me.
Well, and as well, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where I guarantee you your opponent's not going to want to talk about this issue because, I mean, one of the reasons why in 2012 that anti-gay marriage amendment failed in this state was because the Republicans didn't seem to understand that most people don't. I mean, they know people who are gay. They know people who are lesbians. They know people that are of alternate lifestyle, and they don't want to be the face of someone telling them you're a second class citizen. And here we are once again with Republicans, you know, I think especially with the bravado they have after the Roe v. Wade ruling that was leaked last week. They're feeling like now it's time to get rid of all these things and turn America back to the 1940s, where the Republicans regulated who you can love and what you could do in your own private bedroom.
Yeah, it's what is happening with that party over the last few years, and it's accelerating. We haven't seen the Supreme Court ever overrule themselves when it comes to taking away rights. They've overruled themselves when it comes to recognizing that, hey, we were wrong before. We need to extend these rights to people that we failed before. And now we're seeing in this leaked decision, first time the Supreme Court is rolling back rights. And in that decision, they've signaled that they're willing to roll back other rights like marriage equality. And they've made it very clear, Alito made it very clear that he's open to rolling back marriage equality, which is one of the reasons why we need to codify that. The anti marriage equality amendment failed, but we don't have right now codified in Minnesota law that right, and that needs to be part of our laws so that if a Supreme Court decision is handed down, there's no question that if you love someone, you can marry them.
Dan Kessler is joining us. Senate District 48 is Democrat of the day. Dan, your district has some of the best apple orchards, and if not the best apple orchard. I've been out to Laconia a few times. I enjoy going out there. It is one of those truly unique districts. You have very suburban quality of life on the east side. You've got a lot of agrarian farms out there. You got a lot of people that are working on the farms. Talk a little bit about that, because you know obviously with this district you're representing both sides of that same coin.
Yeah, and we have to support our farmers. And first off, we don't have one of the best apple orchards. We've got with the University of Minnesota's program out here.
Yes, you do. You do, actually. Yeah. That's in the Arboretum.
And that's I have to object to one of the best. This is worldwide the top class, right? We're done there. All right.
You are right. No, you are right. I was wrong. The apple. Okay. You guys have great apples out there. I do. You can ask Patrick here. Every fall, I go crazy for apple picking. I do love it. So you are correct.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But you know, one of the things, and there's a whole lot we can do for farmers. But one of the things that I'm really baffled by. Democrats have proposed a right to repair bill. You buy something, you should be able to fix it. This is a real problem where farmers buy a piece of farm equipment, a tractor, and they can't fix it. They've got to take it into the dealership. They can't fix it themselves. So a bill has been proposed for the right to repair for farmers and also for regular folks who own iPhones and other products that right now lock them down. And I've not yet figured out why it is that the Senate hasn't taken that bill up, and why Republicans are against it. Because it doesn't make any sense to me for a person not to have the right to work on, fix, and repair the things that they purchase. And that's just one small way, but there's a whole lot of ways we can help our farmers. That's one thing I think we can get done almost immediately.
You bring up as well a major tentpole of your campaign is cannabis. Talking about that policy, mm-hmm. I mean, it is something that it is ludicrous. We're getting to the point where we have so many states, and yet it still is not something we can address here. Talk a little bit about that and what your policies and where you want to go with legalizing cannabis.
Well, again, this is an area where if you ask Minnesotans, if you poll Minnesotans, Democrats and Republicans both agree on this issue. Now, more Democrats are for cannabis legalization than Republicans, for sure. But a majority of people who identify both with both party or either party in favor of cannabis legalization. What we know about this, we look at states where they've legalized it, there haven't been the significant any significant problems of the type that sort of the naysayers are talking about. If we look at Colorado, about 20% of people actually use cannabis on a regular basis, but it holds about a 75% approval rating among the general population. So even those who don't use cannabis recognize that legalization has not been a problem. And if we have a product here that can be regulated and taxed, there's a real benefit to legalizing that. Now, on top of that, cannabis and marijuana, the war on drugs here has incredibly disproportionately fallen on black and brown people. And what we end up with is this mass incarceration system that's just incredibly harmful. And it has to be stopped. And that's part of marijuana legalization, is looking at the harm that's been done to so many by making this plant illegal. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make sense.
I should say also, your official title is doctor, and you're a psychologist. Dan, I would be remiss if we did not bring up the fact that something that you probably have a very incredible amount of insight into, and that's something we've talked about on the show for at least a year now. There is clearly a massive failure as far as mental health awareness and mental health facilities and capabilities in this country. We need an immediate infusion of money and resources to deal with this from all ages, from young to old. Talk a little bit about that, because that is something which is, I think, is going to be a legislative fight for the next 10 years.
Yeah. So if anything good has come out of the pandemic, and I hesitate to even say that when we've lost a million lives in this country, what we recognized is that we can deliver healthcare differently. I see about 90% of the clients, patients I see about through telehealth, and it's incredibly popular. With that popularity, we've increased the shortage of mental health providers. The waits have gotten longer, and that's a huge problem. We have to do something to enhance the number of mental health care providers that are available. But an even more frustrating problem right now is that so many of the folks I see have to make a decision about whether or not they're going to get mental health care or health care, because they won't be able to afford it because their deductible is $5,000, or their medication is $350 a month, even if they have insurance. So we can't just have a system where people have insurance. We have to have a system where people's health care insurance, where people's health care is affordable for them. Access isn't access if they can't afford to pay the bill, if they go bankrupt because they go see the doctor, and if they have to make the decision about whether to go to the emergency room, seek out mental health care, or health care in general, because it's a dollars and cents decision. That is not something we should be looking at in a civilized world at all, anywhere in the world, frankly.
It is, and yeah, I would agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, it's something that, you know, and I will point out, the other day there was a bill that came through, the Republicans were even saying this. It's becoming such a glaring problem in our country that if we don't deal with this, it is the impact of it, not just on health and mental health and individual families, but as the economy as a whole, the society as a whole. We really have a major issue in it. We are at the precipice. We can at least address this now, or we can have to address it after a lot of bad things happen. And I agree. I think we have to put the infrastructure and the funding in place right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And we know from lots of research that you spend a dollar on healthcare, you get that dollar back many times over.
Yep.
In terms of medical care, but also in terms of productivity, lost productivity, and general quality of life. It's not a cost thing. It's a benefit when you spend that money on mental health care.
Dan, this is a seat, as you said, this is a very winnable seat for the DFL, but it's going to take door knocking on every door. It's going to be taking more volunteers coming on out. It's a cute area, by the way. Go on out there. It's a lot of fun, especially come fall. There's apple orchards out there. Go out there. They're fantastic. But volunteers are needed. It is a larger district, too. So obviously donations, not for many things, including gas, to reimburse you for driving around and seeing all the people in this district. If people would like to volunteer, donate, help out your campaign, what's the website they should go to?
KesslerForSenate.com. That's KESSLER, for, spell it out, F-O-R, Senate.com. And yes, we have a lot of, we do have a rural area out here, but we also have a lot of suburban areas. We have townhouses, we have new apartment buildings. We have a lot of growth out here in the eastern end of town. Some people can drive to door knock, but some people just walk from door to door to door. And we are not that far from the city. We're 25 minutes away from anywhere in the Twin Cities at the most, unless you come out during rush hour and don't do that.
I would highly recommend people go down and see the old historic Chaska part of town. Waconia is as cute as it gets. I even like Cologne. I've been out to Cologne a few times. It's a lovely part. So go on out there, visit the district, volunteer, help out your local DFLer. By all means, help them out. But if you're in a relatively safe DFL seat right now, this is a winnable seat, and this would go. This one seat would go a long way for the DFL to pick back up that Senate. So Senate District 48, Dan Kessler, KesslerForSenate.com, volunteer, donate. This is an easy layup for us. We should be able to win this seat. Doctor, I appreciate the time. All my best in your race, and I will see you in October out there, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
My pleasure. I'm going to call him. We're going to go apple picking. We're going to do that. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. I want to remind people, and by the way, thank you very much to Dan Kessler. And by the way, he's not joking. They are exceptional apple orchards out there. Really good ones. If you're, it's a little early, but you know me. Come on. Is there anything better than an October day going out there picking an apple off a tree and it's still cold from the night? Oh, delicious. Delicious. And they got a few out there. Go on out there and enjoy that and help him out. That is a winnable seat. And that is a seat when the redistricting happened. I saw Roger Chamberlain's seat. I was like, hey, Roger's gone. I shouldn't say that. It's not for granted. As a matter of fact, I'm going to try to talk to his opponent coming up here on Monday. But, you know, you when you look around at these Republican Party and what they are, I mean, they are pushing because the far right stooges that are out in these safe Republican districts decide where and what is being put forward. Here you have Glenn Grugenhagen, whose wife Emily is basically saying they want to condemn and remove the log cabin Republicans as an affiliate. They want to remove their status as an affiliate of the Republican Party because they're not for conversion therapy, where the concept is to take a person who is gay and they're gay, or, you know, lesbian, the whole gamut, and force them to repress their natural self and become something that they approve of. That is what, how dare you not allow us to torture the LGBTQ community? How dare you, as gay people, I mean, my God, are these people like looking at the log cabin Republicans and saying, we need to haul those people into a room and convert them now? Is that, because that sounds like where they're at. And so here they are, they're led by the Grunhagens, it sounds like. They're trying to remove the affiliate status of the log cabin Republicans. Democrats, this is not rocket science. You don't have to be clever or nuanced or have to feign intelligence. Grab a freaking sledgehammer. They're the party that was against vaccines and masks during a pandemic, and now there's a million dead people in the United States. Fact. They're the party that is trying to raise your taxes. They're the party that tried to overthrow the government. They're the party that wants to get rid of Social Security, wants to get rid of Medicaid, Medicare. They're the party that wants to discriminate. They want to get to the point where they're going into your private bedroom in your house and dictating what kind of sex you can have with your partner. And if it goes against what they say, then they can kick in the door and arrest you for for how dare you do what we don't tell you to do. Think about that. That is where the Republicans are at today. And if you can't run a campaign, an easy layup of a campaign, and my God, I mean, they give you all. They didn't give a dime to your school districts. They didn't give a dime to your school districts. They don't want to address chronic wasting disease, putting the entire deer hunting season on alert. Dear Lord. And they tried to overthrow the government of the United States. This is the lunacy of the far right. You do not need to get nuanced. You do not need to be clever. You do not need to try to feign. Look at me. I'm not going to talk about the easy things we could use to defeat them. I'm going to come up with this interesting thing, and through my wordsmith and my 90-page, well, strongly worded memo, I will win the. I lost again. Okay, it's an easy layup. It's an easy layup. Go get them. Don't overthink this. Just go get them. Okay? 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When we do come back, Dusty Hens is going to join us from Agrarian Seed and Garden. We're going to talk to him about the season being open for planting and more things as well. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Just to let you know, obviously after last night, we need to keep an eye on this weather stuff that's coming through. A band of showers is starting to move into the very southwestern part of the state past Sioux Falls, and it's moving in. There's also some pretty heavy storms up north on Duluth up into to the North Shore, so just keep that in mind. Those are the ones that are expected to hold together and make it all the way to the metro area, although it looks like most of them, as opposed to the storms yesterday, which went right through the metro area, it looks like the St. Cloud area north of the metro area is going to get the worst of it. So just keep in mind, doesn't mean it's not going to be, just skip past, especially the South Metro or anything. You just need to keep in mind that there are some serious storms coming through. You can feel it outside. Boy, is it warm. Holy cow. Humidity's picked up. It's got 90 degrees. So be careful out there and just know what you're going to be in for the evening. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. You've heard the ads here. We welcome them to AM 950, Agrarian Seed and Garden. Joining us right now, Dusty Hens is going to be talking with us a little bit about their garden center over there, as well as also the history. And then maybe I get a few hints on some things to plant here. Dusty, how are you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on, Matt. I've been a long-time listener, and it's great to be on your show. I've been a long-time listener of the station since going back to when I was 18, 19, 20 years old.
Gosh, how can I ask? I'm afraid to. How many years ago was that?
I am 35 years old. I just turned 35 on May 6th. It was my birthday.
You were listening the entire time I've been here, and I've been here for over 12 years. So, I'm an old, old man, Dusty. I'm a decrepit. That's why I like to plant flowers around me. I can see what's coming. There you go. There's the flowers and the joy. Let's talk, first of all, about the Agrarian Seed and Garden. How did it get started? What prompted you here to say, you know what, we're going to open this garden center down? I believe it's down on Hiawatha, right?
Yes, it's down on 52nd and Hiawatha in South Minneapolis, just right next to the light rail, just a few blocks south of Minnehaha Falls, but on the west side of the light rail. We're entering into our second year, and really the precursor to the garden center is back in 2014. I co-founded a different organization that's a nonprofit called the Experimental Farm Network, which has grown into a pretty cool and unique organic seed company. And by trade, really, I've been like a vegetable seed grower for the past 8 years. And so that's kind of where things all started. That was actually out in Philadelphia in South Jersey, and I co-founded with this really good friend of mine, Nate Kleinman. Mm-hmm. And just to speak really quickly about the Experimental Farm Network, basically we feature different independent seed savers and small-scale organic plant breeders from across the country, and we have a really diverse seed collection. And about half of the varieties that we sell on the EFN website are in the store at Agrarian, hence the name Agrarian Seed and Garden. We wanted to put that in the name. So we do feature a large amount of the seed catalog in the store. And so that I started it out in Philly, moved back to Minnesota where I run the seed company with my brother and his fiance Kiera. So my brother's Colty and his fiance Kiera. In 2020, early 2020, the garden center went up for sale, which formerly went by the name of Plantique. And we were already running the seed company together, and it seemed like it was like a good move for us, so we went for it. I went up there, it was like late April 2020, pandemic had just hit, and the former owner, Bruce, was in the store that day, and I was able to meet him, and ultimately kind of formed a relationship with him on the fly, and ultimately he decided to sell it to us, and he took less money to sell it to us, and there were like developers that had put in more money that wanted to tear it all down and build like more condos and stuff. And so anyways, I made the relationship happen. He made the decision to sell it to us actually on a contract for deed, and we've kind of just hit the ground running. We redid the interior. We've kind of revamped the place. We've got a huge plant selection. And that's kind of the story of how we got going, and we are fully loaded with tools and plants and all types of other practical gardening needs.
You know, Dusty, I want to go back a little, if you don't mind, talk a little bit more about the Experimental Farm Network, because one of the things I remember reading in, I think it was National Geographic, probably 20 years ago, was they were talking about we needed to address seeds because we used to have a much more vibrant collection of seeds. There are more organic seeds. There are more things like this. And they were saying we have kind of whittled down what is available to a very finite amount. I got to imagine that this is a, you know, you're doing a really good thing here because expanding out that base of seed base, getting us back to a little bit more of a wider variety and a wider standard is got to be something that's going to be helping us in plants as overall, correct?
Yeah, so actually one of the things that the Experimental Farm Network kind of specializes in is we sell a lot of genetically diverse varieties that sometimes we call Grexes or Landraces, and it's actually like varieties that are phenotypically different. They might have variation within the species of like this particular cultivar, but there's way, way more genetic diversity in there. And so, and kind of like less absolute total uniformity. And so we very much pride ourselves on trying to get a lot of different genetic diversity out there to all kinds of other growers across the country and across the world so they can be experimenting with different genetics and different varieties in their bioregion, and they can be adapting, all these different varieties to where they actually are. And we encourage everyone out there to be saving their seeds. So there has, like, it is actually, you know, it's scary times with the reduction in, I mean, overall, just like the sixth mass extinction that's happening, and then also just inside of conventional agriculture, just the whittling away of all the genetic diversity that's out there, and the chemical dependency that's happening, and everything along those lines. So we're very much about huge amounts of genetic diversity and trying to develop new varieties for adapting to climate change, and things along those lines.
Well, and I think that that's the important thing is, guys, you know, you're out there. You got the big box stores. Ignore that. You need to go down here because this is, A, going to give you a better variety, and, B, it's better for the planet, frankly. And so you need to go down to Agrarian Seed, get the seeds there. And obviously, I mean, it's something that's the kind of the fun of gardening. At least that's what I've gotten into, is trying some things. Some things work. Some things don't. But at the same time, then I can come back with new ideas. And I've been very happy between my vegetable garden and the flower gardens I've gotten out there. I got a great variety, and I think that's the important thing, is that you need to have that variety, and especially when you talk about location, 52nd Hiawatha, there's a lot of people in Minneapolis. You don't have to go out into the suburbs. You can just stop on by there and get something for your yard there that's going to be something special, which is really cool.
Exactly. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask about another thing here, too, which is something I love. as far as a trend goes, and that's getting back to the native perennial flowers that you, what for the most part, are gone. It used to be everywhere. It used to be everywhere, and they're gone. It's been, the development of a city. I have loved when I see people bring back the native plants and allow them to grow, because it reminds us there's a lot of things that are native to the area that grow fantastic here, but because it's not grass or, a few select standard flowers, it kind of has been overlooked. I love the fact that you guys carry the plants to do that as well.
Yes, we have a huge native perennial plant flower section that actually really by category, I think last year was our biggest seller, and it's nice. Because, they can kind of be planted all year, and people kind of come and get their vegetables in the spring and the annual flowers earlier in the year and stuff, but even into the fall is a great time to plant the native perennials as well. And, one thing about opening up a garden center in this area, starting our place in this neighborhood, is the East Nokomis neighborhood has been so supportive, and there actually is a neighborhood pollinator festival in the neighborhood there. Nice. Over by Lake Nokomis in this little park area, and it's called Monarch Fest.
Yes.
And so if you drive around the neighborhood over there, like, you will see people that have just let their front lawns go feral, and there's I get kudos to the neighborhood over there for like already kind of like paving the way, and then people have just like stepped up. There's a lot of people in the neighborhood are like diehard supporters, and they're in, like, we've got our regular customers that are in all the time that are so happy that we're there. And then we actually, last year we had a good native pollinator selection. This year we've increased it by like 30 or 40 more varieties. Nice. And so I think we're up to like a 90 or 100 different species of native perennial pollinator plants. And that's huge. I mean, on the one hand, I'm all about people growing their own food. And if that's not your thing, you can also plant a little pollinator plant that's going to come back year after year and, be feeding our precious pollinators, and again, because we are facing like a mass ecological crisis that's happening in our world right now.
And I know exactly what you're talking about. That is a great little garden up on the northeast side of Nokomis. And if you haven't been up there, it's great. And it's a great opportunity as well. Go out, visit that lake, swing on by Agrarian and stop on by. Dusty Hinz is joining us, Agrarian Seed and Garden. It's agrarianseed.com if you'd like to go to the website. Let's talk some planting advice, okay?
Sure.
One of the things that's easy about Minneapolis and St. Paul is you usually have a sun-facing side of your house and a non-sun-facing side of your house. So I'm going to start with the sun. You're going to get a lot of sun on one side. Give me an idea of a flower to plant and a vegetable to plant that will work really well that you got there in your garden center.
Yes. I mean, for a full sun, vegetables, you're going to want tomatoes and peppers, yes. Other things that are fruiting. Shade vegetables, you can get away maybe with some greens that like really don't need all that energy to produce fruit. So like lettuce or brassicas, like kale or some things like that can do okay in like a part shade situation. With full sun flowers, you've got your zinnias as like an annual flower, marigolds, all those are kind of like full sun. Native perennial pollinators that are going to be full sun, you've got purple coneflower.
Yes.
And then out front of our building, we have herbs, annual flowers, and vegetables. Out back is where all the native perennials are, and we have a full sun section. We've got a part shade or like part sun section, and then we've got like a full shade section that has ferns and some other things there. So really, if you come into the store, you can kind of navigate everything. We also are in the process of trying to make a placard for every species, so it's very, and this is what it is kind of out front with all the vegetables, but we have a very informative store that is very educational, and there's oftentimes like color photos associated with a species and like when their bloom times are, the width of a plant, the height of a plant, the sun or the shade, and the soil type, and whether it likes wet or dry, and just all of those things. And we have a pretty informed staff on hand to answer a lot of questions as well. Mm-hmm. So that is some options there.
Oh, and one of the things I love about coneflowers, you brought up coneflowers, not only a native species, but, sometimes I love to have a garden where I got tulips in April, May. I've got flowers that will come up in May and June. I got things coming up here in late season. But you get cone flowers. Not only do you get a great July with them, but then they run into the fall too, which that's one of my favorite parts about it, is you got a flower that actually can go through a few months there, and it's not just a, you know, one-time blossom and done.
And they're just beautiful. It's almost like kind of like surreal. I mean, just like I am big on the purple cone flower and so many others.
Yeah, there were. I was up at on the riverfront over on the north side of Minneapolis. They planted a whole bunch of cone flowers, and you know, you're like, okay, if this is a native plant, for goodness sakes, plant it. It loves it here. It does love it here, like we all love it here, and it does give such wonderful color to any garden.
Now, another thing that we have in the store is for many of these same species, we have the seed as well. So, and we encourage that in the fall for people to sow these native perennial pollinator plants to create like a little pocket prairie or something. And you prepare an area, October and November is when you can seed that, so the seeds go through the winter dormancy. So you can get plants now, and you know, and you can get seeds anytime, but we also... As just an FYI, we have many of these same species, including pollinator mixes, in the store as seed as well.
You are in a city. I want to encourage a lot of people out there, because I'm gonna give them an idea here. You get one of those, a pot that's raised up so the bunnies can't get into it. You're not big on gardening. You want to try this out. You talk about this, and a lot of people in the metro area as well are very big on organic. It's a great way to see if it's a hobby that you can enjoy. Getting one of those raised pots, putting it in there, plant some of those organic vegetable seeds, and see it. Because I think for me, it's the value is you get to pick the flowers, like we're talking about the cone flowers, or you get to pick the tomatoes, which are just all of a sudden you realize, yeah, a grown tomato tastes a lot better than what you buy in the store. And so you get that opportunity. I think that it's a really great way, and a fairly inexpensive way too, I think, to be able to see if gardening's for you, to just start off with one planter and see how it goes.
Now, yes, well put, Matt. Now another thing I want to emphasize here as well is that we curate our own in-house vegetable plant collection.
Nice.
And many of the seeds come from EFN. I also buy seeds from other of my small my favorite small seed companies out there in other parts of the country. I have two organic farmer friends of mine grow them. One is Rodrigo. He's up in Wisconsin. The other are Andrew and Jacob. These twin brothers, they're Twin Organics down in Northfield. And I supply the seed to them at their certified organic farms. They grow all of our plants on contract for us.
Nice.
And so the vegetable collection, I have to say, is like very ethically sound. It's just well produced all around. The variety is great. The seeds are great from like great suppliers. The growers are great. And it's also very informative. Every tomato, I think I have around 15 to 20 different tomatoes this year. I've got like seven or sweet peppers, a bunch of hot peppers, all kinds of like unique varieties that are pretty cool to check out.
I want everyone to check out. Now, for everyone who's listening that might not be in the metro area, and by the way, I do love the fact that you're using local suppliers too. I think that that's absolutely fantastic. If you are listening to us, you know, nationwide, let's drive them first of all to your webpage, because obviously they can go see your full seed catalog there, correct?
Yes. So the Experimental Farm Network, that's EFNseeds.com. And so you type in EFNseeds.com, and we'll ship out seeds across the country. So yeah, if you're listening there, you can get seeds. The Agrarian Seed and Garden, the website for that is, and that's just the Garden Center in Minneapolis, that's agrarianseed.com. So that's agrarianseed.com. And we're also, both the Experimental Farm Network and Agrarian Seed and Garden are on social media, Facebook and Instagram. You can find us on there. We have all types of interesting posts that we make that are oftentimes, especially on EFN, there's a lot of really educational, interesting social media posts on there. And now another thing I wanted to say, Matt, is that even since we've been running an ad on AM 950 here for just a couple weeks now, there have been some AM 950 listeners coming in, and I just wanted to give all those wonderful people a shout out. There was somebody in today that had heard the ad or whatever. So we're greatly appreciative to the AM 950 listeners that have come in, and we look forward to meeting many more of you.
And first of all, thank you very much from the bottom of my heart and from the station's heart. We really appreciate you guys supporting this radio station. I mean, guys out there, if you're listening to me, this is an easy layup, okay? They're doing a great product. They're doing a great service. They help support your radio station. This is a no-brainer. So if you're listening nationwide, EFNseeds.com. That's EFNseeds.com. I'll link to that. If you're local, you want to see what they've got, go to agrarianseed.com. But just head over 52nd and Hiawatha. This is not difficult to get to, kids. Stop on over there on the east Nokomis side of town there. Stomp on in. See what they've got. Pick up a bunch of plants. Ask the questions. They're the experts there. They'll tell you where the plant needs to be, how to plant it, what to keep an eye out for. That's the important thing. It's the local knowledge. It's the local supplier. It's a good product. That's what you're going to find there at Agrarian Seed and Garden. So 52nd and Hiawatha, correct?
That's correct. Yes. The address is 5152 Hiawatha Avenue, right there next to the light rail. You can't miss us. If you're going north on Hiawatha, you can look over. You can see actually this beautiful mural that my friends painted last summer. And one thing we haven't mentioned yet either, as well, is we have a great herb selection. We also have a great berry selection, a great mostly vining and bushing berries like currants and gooseberries and blueberries and service berries. We have all kinds of berries in stock. And so, yeah, we want people to help the pollinators and grow some food for themselves and add some beauty to their own little landscape.
Dusty Hens, Agrarian Seed and Garden. Dusty, thank you very much. Let's have you back before too long. We can talk more about planting and we're telling more about berries. I like berries.
Hey, anytime. I'd love to come on. And so thanks so much for having us.
Thank you very much for supporting AM 950. We do appreciate that. Agrarian Seed and Garden. We'll take a break. Come on back. Wrap up the show when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Yeah, I'm looking at the temperature. I don't think you're going to have a problem planting anything at this point. Sometimes you get people say, wait till Memorial Day. I don't think you have to wait till Memorial Day. I think the lowest temperature I see, I think on Monday, the low temperature is going to be 46. That should be fine. You can go plant. Oh, it's that time of year. I do love gardening. I do love gardening. And if you get the chance, you know, stop on out at Agrarian. I'll link to everything a little bit later on. They're doing it right. They're doing it sustained. They're doing it local. And they're sponsoring the station, so I love them. And thank you to the listeners. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Stop on by the businesses that help support this radio station. Have we been able to find the brewery that has the Biden brew and stuff? Is that completely has that been restocked? Do we know on that? I know they were having some problems there.
Oh, we still got the ads for it. I haven't heard an update on that.
People were so wanting that. Thank you. Keep going out asking. And you stop by those liquor stores and ask for that as well. We do appreciate all that you guys are doing for AM 950. By the way, I've got a few people that are asking some questions in regards to flamethrowers at the GOP convention. First of all, Teresa is a friend of mine. She does fire stuff. You know, she does like the fire dancing with the batons. I don't see any fiery batons that you're spinning. That doesn't seem to be banned. So, yeah, I'd say go for it. Matt, who's a drummer in town, plays with bands. He has some pictures he sent me of flaming drums. Well, you know, it doesn't say flaming drums are against the rules. I mean, it's their rules. If they didn't want flaming drums at the GOP convention this weekend, they should have put it on there. Hordes of insects made it to their list. An unreasonable amount of hand ties, zip ties, an unreasonable amount. There's a reasonable amount. You're going to take 3 or 4 hostages. Okay, that's fine with us. But the 10 hostages, well, that's a little too many on the zip ties. They put that in there, but did they say flaming drum kit? I do not see flaming drum kit on the GOP's convention no list. Off you go, Matt. Have fun. Reminder, my new nickname, Torque Bisquick, all right? Hey, ladies, come on. It's Torque time, or it's Bisquick time. Either way, it does work both ways, okay? The Republican convention is going to be a nightmare. Delicious. Native Roots up next. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.